talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
And away we go. It's a Getaway Friday here on WGH Talk. Friday, November the 10th, 2023, 17 and a half minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Exchange Club. Pastor Craig, Sean Kraft, Matt Morgan all here. Don't forget, study his word coming up next hour with Pastor Craig. And then tonight, 8:15 until 10 p.m., we have Friday Night Live with Carrington Nelson, Matt Morgan, and Sean Kraft. The whole gang should be around tonight for that. And we do have top 10 lists today that we are going to do. And we're going to tell you where we are at the end of the program today. Make you wait just a little bit longer to find out where we are. Lots to discuss this week on the program, to be sure. And again, let us know how we're sounding. We are in this new studio. I think we're sounding great. We checked during the break there, and everything sounded great on the replay, so hopefully it's still sounding great. 740-383-9944. You can get in on the conversation anytime you like. All right, let's go to election results. We've discussed this with Sean and Matt, but we'll get their opinion again just on everything at this point. Pastor Craig, 57% for recreational marijuana, 57% for abortion legalization in Ohio. Bill Collins becomes mayor. One Democrat left on city council, Ayers Ratliff. River Valley levies both pass, one by 80 votes, one by 110 votes. And Tara Dyer back on the Marion County School Board.
Yes.
That's my election recap.
You know, probably the most, there are several things that were interesting about the results. I find it very interesting that there's just one lone Democrat now on city council. And I also found it very interesting that the River Valley issues were as close as they were. As a matter of fact, you know, we for a while there, we were waiting for the Morrow County, you know, returns. And, you know, you had basically both of those had passed with a margin of only 80 votes. And then when the Morrow County came in, one of those passed by 20 votes. And the other one, it was a two vote. You know, it was 95 to 93. And so it was very, very close. I found that kind of interesting. I mean, it almost went down both of them to defeat.
You know what? Everybody, some people, I shouldn't say everybody, but some people jumped on me and they said, you're having a hard time announcing that River Valley passed their levies. Well, the reason was, is because, number one, they were the closest elections that night. Number two, we got a call as we were going off the air that the Morrow County vote had not come in. And we still didn't have it at 8 o'clock the next morning. It took about an hour into the show before we got it. So why wouldn't I? Why would I want to announce this is the facts until I knew that these were the facts?
Absolutely, because even though it was only a couple of hundred voters in Morrow County, they could have swung it either way.
Well, and I certainly would have felt more comfortable about the whole thing if it had been a wider margin.
Right.
So that's why it happened. But we spent last week basically talking about issue one, issue two.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised that they both passed, and I wasn't surprised by the margins that they both passed by. It was kind of about what I'd expected. It's, you know, obviously it's they didn't go the direction that I would have liked to have seen them go, but it was as I expected.
Matt, for people who haven't heard your opinion this morning, what did you make of the election?
I thought it went a lot better than the first one I did, because now I had a base understanding of what was going to go on. Also, it was also a little bit more confusing at the same time, because I went from having like one page I had to read off the results from to having like an 11-page packet to search through.
Primaries are different. Elections are different than primaries.
So it was good. I thought it was good. We had a very large crew. working on.
You know, and then we're going to talk about that in a second, aside from the election, because it was something that was interesting was the feedback immediately from people on the coverage that night, the next morning, even yesterday morning, about how people like this coverage. It was the 10th election coverage we'd done for this station, and boy, people felt it was the best. And I think part of that goes to the idea that, number one, we had a large crew that night, but I think number two goes to the fact of how well everybody did work together that night. There really was no hitch in that entire broadcast if you listened to it.
No, I thought it went real smooth and went great, and we had all the bases covered. Yeah, I thought it was really good.
The calls, the guests in the studio, it was really a whole different thing. What do you think, Sean?
Well, absolutely. I think it all play, it's like a domino effect. You know, one domino, it just fell right in place.
Well, I think it was the right people. And not to say that people in the past have not been good, but you build every year to try to get to a certain place. And obviously, I think we've gotten to that certain place. And there you go.
Absolutely.
Onward and upward.
Yep.
Now, what do you make of the idea? Let's just talk about these two issues, because now the governor is weighing in, so that is new news. Governor DeWine yesterday, on issue one, he said no amendments to it, but... You know, we've got the heartbeat bill. He said that's going to be decided in the court. We'll see what happens in the courts. What do you think? Issue one.
Well, again, I really wasn't surprised. And actually, you know, your guest the other day pointed out the fact that it really doesn't change a whole lot on what the status of abortion in Ohio is. It's markedly different, or would be different, if the heartbeat bill was decided. You know, we passed in Ohio the heartbeat bill, which would greatly restrict abortion, but that's tied up in courts, so it hasn't essentially taken effect. So this, you know, issue one didn't really change what's happening in Ohio that much. The only thing about that I have a problem is that it wasn't a law, but it was as a constitutional amendment. So, you know, that the fact that it is part of the Constitution now, that raises it to a different level than, you know, typically all the laws that get passed.
I would think the heartbeat bill, which was not voted on by the popular vote and certainly is not a constitutional amendment, I think is going to have a much more difficult time now in the court system because of what happened on Tuesday.
I think probably so. And even if it comes out okay by the courts, we're not done. Because, yeah, you know, now there's going to be a difference between the heartbeat bill and the constitutional amendment. So,
and I don't think a bill, I don't think a bill trumps the Constitution.
No, it doesn't.
So they're in trouble anyways with that. What do you think, Matt?
I never actually thought about that, but I also, now that I have, you know, thought about it, I think that they also should have made it a law and not a amendment. But, I mean, I read the amendment, and it doesn't sound all too bad. So I guess at the end of the day, it's okay.
Sean, what do you think?
I'm about to agree with both of them on that.
But they kind of were different there.
Huh?
They kind of were different.
What do you mean?
In what they said.
I mean,
Matt thought it was okay, and Pastor Craig...
Yeah, I'm going to go in between.
So your opinion is...
I'm in between both of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but just what is the opinion, though?
I really don't have one.
No, but now earlier you did.
I really don't have one right now.
So in the last 2 hours, it's changed a little bit.
Kind of, in a way, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
In any event, what do you make of the idea of the man going to jail if the woman gets an abortion?
I didn't hear the conversation that you had here, because unfortunately I was without radio, but. I'm assuming that you're saying that if the state were to pass a law making abortion illegal, then if a woman does have an abortion, obviously both her and her doctor could be prosecuted, and then you're saying also prosecute the man.
No, basically, because we're trying to find any other law that would be immune to a certain group of people. And I think that's why abortion has always been a thing for people, because a man can never go to prison for that, can never have one, can never be involved in that. So if we stand by the idea, all laws, you know, everybody's fair and equal under the Constitution, then we've got to get men in on this somehow, and it does take two to tango. So if the woman does, and we do have paternity tests now, we can find out who the father of these babies were. So if the girl does it and she ends up being convicted, the man has to go too.
I would think the courts would look at it from the standpoint, if she had the abortion and he was against her having it, then he's not prosecutable.
But shouldn't have had sex with that woman?
What's that?
Shouldn't have had unprotected sex with that woman. Well, that's where he should have made his decision.
Well, you know, let's put it this way. We can take the whole abortion out of the question. An unmarried woman and an unmarried man shouldn't be having sex anyway. If you want to look at it that way.
Well, right, key, no present.
Yeah, that's right.
So why is abortion ever an issue? If you don't like it, don't get one. If you don't like it, don't have sex.
Okay, yeah, I agree. If you don't like it, don't get one. If you don't like it, you know, don't have sex. But that's not what the issue on abortion is. I mean, bottom line, we are talking about the murder of an innocent human being. That's what the issue is. I know they want to, you know, make it, you know, women's health issues and reproductive rights and all this kind of stuff, but that's the issue.
But if you don't want that, just don't do the thing that's going to get you to that point.
Well, right, exactly, yeah.
So, but how can we get men involved in this? Because men vote on it, male legislatures make bills on it, but yet they will never be affected by it.
Well, if we're talking about the person that got them pregnant and they had an abortion and we're talking about it being illegal, then the way that you can also get them involved in it is if he forced her to have the abortion, or if he wanted her to have the abortion, then yes, I think you could prosecute the male as being an accessory to murder.
There you go.
Because that's what if it's going to be illegal and you're going to prosecute somebody when they break the law, which we do when they rob banks or whatever or commit murder. If you're going to prosecute, then, yeah, he would be an accessory to a crime.
Because my belief is that if men had some skin in this game to lose, that vote would have been higher than 57%. Because it reminded me of Vietnam. It reminded me that senators and congresspeople voted to go to war, yet they also got lawyers so their children didn't have to go to war.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, that's true. And there are dozens of examples how, you know, privilege, you can avoid certain things because of, you know, your job, your status, whatever.
But is there anything else other than abortion where it does not apply to everybody? Everybody has the opportunity to murder. Everybody has the opportunity to steal. Everybody has the opportunity to drink and drive. Everybody has the opportunity to, I think, break every other law except abortion. Men are immune from abortion.
I guess I really can't think of anything else.
I think, and that's why it's an issue on the whole, because I think women feel that men are telling them what to do. I think that men are getting a say in something that doesn't impact them.
But it does, because it impacts society. Because again, you know, it's bigger issue than the fact that, well, a male can never be involved in it or prosecuted for it. We're talking about murder of an innocent person. So, and that has societal effects. So for that reason, I mean, that's why men are involved in it, as far as talking about it, as far as legislating it, you know, feeling whatever way.
But from a technical standpoint here, on the murder, as we look at murder in society, mm-hmm. the person who murders the person, physically murders them, goes to jail, goes to prison. And if you are there but don't physically murder them, you're just an accessory. So is technically the woman the murderer here? It's the doctor who's physically doing the murder. If you believe it's murder, and some people don't, if you believe that that's murder, if you believe the actual abortion is the murder, the woman's not committing the murder. She gives the okay to it, but she's not the one doing it.
Yeah.
So the doctor goes to prison, not the woman.
No, the woman...
Well, I think in that circumstance, everybody was still...
Yeah, I mean, she gave permission to do it.
It's kind of like hiring
her. Yeah, but she didn't do it.
To some extent, if it was considered murder.
Like, if I tell you to murder somebody, okay. I don't get first-degree murder.
Right.
You would... Well, I don't know. You would get... I'm not sure what exactly they would hit you with. I would get first-degree murder because I killed the person.
You did it.
But
the doctor could say, I'm not going to do it. If it's illegal.
If it's illegal, yeah.
So why does the doctor not go to, which could be a man, why does he not go to prison? Why does the woman, if this were illegal?
Well, who's saying that the doctor's not going to go to prison?
Oh, yeah, no, I kind of figured.
But why is the woman, I guess is what I'm saying here.
Because she had to give the okay. Yeah.
But she didn't do it.
But like.
It's the same.
It wouldn't have happened if she didn't ask the doctor.
It's the same thing as what you want to apply to the male who got her pregnant. You want him to go to prison. He didn't do the abortion, but you want him to be involved.
I don't want him to. I'm just saying, how do we include men in this? How do we make it equal under the law for everybody?
Okay. Well, how you make it equal under the law for everybody, if it's going to be illegal, is you charge everybody who's involved in it. And most likely, the person that was going to get the first-degree murder charge is going to be the doctor. And probably the woman and the man are going to be accessories, and you know,
they'll probably get like conspiracy charge or something,
or you know, a manslaughter charge or something less than a first degree murder. So that's how you get everybody involved.
And I think if that were the way it was set up, the vote would be different, and I also think the legislation would be different. So I think that's it, and I think that's one of the issues that we don't talk about when it comes to this, is really we're talking about the woman and possibly the doctor. The whole doctor thing really has not been flushed out yet. I mean, yes, probably if it were illegal, which it's not going to be at this point, the doctor would be charged with something, but I don't think he would be charged the way the woman would be charged. And I think that's always been a confusing thing for people, because that's the only law that works that way, and it's confusing for a lot of people. And I don't know, what do you think, Sean?
I just think, you know, the whole situation is of abortion is ridiculous, beyond like I said earlier. You know, there's a fine line on the whole situation,
which is,
you know, when is it a baby, when it's not a baby. You know,
well, that's right, and that's also another big conversation in it. That's an opinion as well, and then people will turn it to hospice. You know, is that murder? Because you are saying that the person cannot have food anymore, and you are not taking them to the hospital when you normally would. That's a big issue. Then you got to turn to the right to die pill in 11 states, and is that suicide? And if you're helping somebody, that's not legal. Then we turn to war, and we say, well, if the war is just, is it okay to shoot somebody? Is it not okay? And then we're talking about, certainly we get into capital punishment in a state. Murder is murder, and they didn't kill you, but you killed them. How does that work? It's big issues like that that make this a complicated issue for a lot of people.
That is true.
Yeah.
You know, just let me throw out another scenario. If I hire somebody to murder my wife.
Not Jenny. Oh, not Jennifer. She's awesome.
The person that murdered can be charged with first degree murder, and I can be charged with first degree murder. I didn't commit the murder, but I paid someone to commit the murder.
So there's like a...
So if you apply that same rationale to abortion in a place where it's illegal, then in that situation, you would have the female and the doctor both charged the same.
But what, like in the Britney Spears situation, she says she was put up to it by the boyfriend.
Right.
So in that particular case, I think it would be the same situation.
Absolutely. And that I go back to my very first comment when I said, if you want to charge the man in a state where it's illegal, if you want to charge the man, what was his role? Was he in favor of it, or was he against it?
Let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I think is what needs to be done is a responsibility bill needs to be passed.
Now, what do you mean by that?
It means anybody, whether you're however age you are, if you do not have the means and to take care of that child, and there should be certain steps you have to do to have a child, both of you can be thrown in jail. If it means taking a baby away from them and leaving them with one of the parents or whatever, or if there is no family or something, you take the baby, put it in a place. When she gets done serving her sentence, she can come out and have the baby back. But you make people be responsible.
Well, I don't, you know. Exactly.
You would have not have to have the abortion issue.
Well, outside of, there are a lot of things where people have no responsibility. And I think that would be hard to pass a responsibility law on anything, because we would have to apply that to drugs, we'd have to apply that to alcohol, we'd have to apply that to anybody underage, slap their parents with lawsuits and things if they did things that they weren't supposed to do. You know, and we could even look at abortion on that. I mean, let's say you did have mom and dad at home. Well, maybe mom and dad should have took the kid, and you wouldn't have had to have the abortion. I mean, it gets very complicated.
Oh, it does, but, you know, fighting people and putting them in jail for, you know, like you say, you're only getting a mother there, but, you know, there's no reason why, there's all kind of birth control around, there's no reason why a pregnancy needs to happen. I'm not saying you can't have sex. If two 16-year-olds want to have sex, well, you find out how to have safe sex, and you practice it.
Well, I don't know, if you're going to do anything, be safe. How about that? Thanks. You know, well, that, I mean, it does come down to that in the end. But is the argument, oh, it's just not practical to be abstinent? Is that the idea? You know, and we leave out a whole group here. We're always talking about kids and young people and so on and so forth. But the truth of the matter is there are a lot of women who get pregnant in their 40s accidentally before menopause, or they already think they're going through menopause, who do not want to have a baby that late in life, or there's the doctor tells them about complications on their own health or the complications of the baby because they are so far along. A lot of women get abortions for that purpose, and we don't ever talk about that group a whole lot.
You know, for example, like, I know some people that got pregnant, you know, because of the, they took the pills, and they got pregnant. What happens to that?
But some people lie and say they have taken the pills, and they aren't taking the pills, and they certainly aren't taking them properly.
Yeah, so I don't know.
And I don't know how you prove any of this stuff, to be honest with you.
Either.
We're all on the honor system.
I know.
I mean, it really, you know.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, what about all these people?
Hey, okay, let me ask. I'm going to Pastor.
I know a lot of virgins who've had sex, so, you know, that's a whole another subject.
I'm going to ask Pastor to answer this one.
Uh-oh.
So, now, when somebody has the sex and they have the after, what they call the after sex pill, what they call that?
After? Morning after.
Oh, yeah, and yeah. It's supposed to kill the whatever's in there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, is that considered, I guess it's not the baby yet then, right? It's not a baby yet. So yeah, it's not really.
Yeah. It is. It is a baby.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. I mean, it is scientific fact that at the point of conception, that is a separate human being. And granted, it's, you know, maybe you know, just 24 cells or 48 cells, but I mean, it's a separate life. So that would be
abortion.
So, yeah, and that morning after pill. I mean, that has been litigated in many states and in many different forms of litigation. Like, can you even order that through the mail and have it delivered to a state where that pill is illegal? And in those states where that pill is illegal, it's because it is a form of abortion.
Okay.
All right, let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Oh, don't we wish Jerry Springer was still alive?
we could bring him in.
Oh, my God, yeah, the show will be over before we get through this here part of the show. Is there going to be any other topics?
We're going to move on to the top 10 right after this little contretemps. All right. See, and that's a whole other thing. I think people are oversaturated with this.
I would agree. I do. I think we're at the point where, you know,
the vote turned out the way it did, and whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
All right, let's have a top 10 list here and move right along. You know, and listen, I understand why it's uncomfortable for a lot of people. I get it. It's still a taboo. It's one of those things, and that's why we try to keep it light a lot of times, but you know what? The news is the news, and this certainly was the news this week. Okay, let's get into the top 10 list. And I think the top 10 list this week does have to deal, and we'll have one tonight, by the way, as well, with the elections of the other day.
I'm just so glad that you have the top 10 list today, because I was afraid that maybe in our new location that it wouldn't find its way here.
It traveled here. It did travel here.
I was glad.
Yes, from the home office in Columbus, Ohio, top 10 reasons to raise political salaries in Marion. We know that December 11th, the vote is coming up. Are we going to raise the salary for the mayor? Are we going to raise the salary for the auditor? What's going to happen come December the 11th? Top 10 reasons to raise political salaries in Marion. Number 10, because somebody in town should be getting a raise.
Somebody should,
absolutely. Number 9, because lately every time council passes a bill, they ask, you want fries with that? Well, there you go. That's a problem right there. Number 8, because it's more fun to complain about rich politicians than poor ones. That is true. It's more fun to say those darn rich politicians. Number 7, it's expensive to drive Columbus or Circleville to attend a decent festival.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Those poor politicians.
Yeah, that's right.
So our leaders can afford to work out at the same gym as Adam. I'm sure they're just dying to do that. Yeah, they want that for sure. Number 5, you can't spend all the tax money on sewer repair. This is true. Number 4, you know the fix is in when even the groundhog gets a raise. That's true. Number 3, our political leaders did a lot of work to arrange for next year's solar eclipse. Oh, big money event right there. Number 2, so our leaders can afford to live in the same retirement home as Ronald McDonald. High-end retirement home. And the number one reasons, that political salaries in Marion should be raised. Think about it. Now that we have the Tobias Road marijuana cultivation farm, our leaders are now drug lords competing with Mexican drug lords.
All right.
So there you go. A good top 10 list today, and very, very timely.
Did you get, Matt, that reference to the festivals in Columbus and Circleville?
No.
Oh, okay. Circleville has the a huge pumpkin festival. I mean, everybody goes to the pumpkin festival. Have you never been to the Circleville Pumpkin Festival?
I don't think I've ever been to Circleville.
Oh, well, there you go. You probably haven't been to the pumpkin festival. That answers that. Well, you know what? What will happen on December 11th? I don't know. This council will vote on it.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see.
We'll see what happens on that particular date. We certainly know that.
What is it? Because the 11th.
The 11th.
There's a lot of newbies on the council.
I think that'll be a very but not for that vote.
Right.
I think that'll be a very contentious night.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people leaving council are just going to say, "Heck with it. Let's bankrupt the city."
Yeah, you know that. And what I meant by,
what do they gain out of just saying, you know what, let's bankrupt the city?
You know, because people
are not good.
People are spiteful in a way,
and that's what I meant about there are a lot of newbies on council. They're not going to be voting on it, but a lot of the people voting on it are done.
So like
are done in January.
You think the game plan is to trash the city via finances from inside, and then,
I don't know.
And then when the other people get there, and then it's bad, and then you just run for re-election, take their job, take your job back.
I think it's interesting that the proposed raise was set for 2028, and now it's January.
I also think that's interesting.
Yep.
But I don't know. I don't know that that has so much to do with old versus new council or old sabotaging.
This is the council that moved it up. This is the council that voted to move it up.
Yeah. And you know, your vote may be, hey, I'm leaving. I'm leaving.
What do I care?
Yeah. What do I care?
Not going to be my problem.
Yeah.
I don't know. A lot of new council members. That's a big, big thing. We're going to have a new council president. We're going to have a new council person in the first ward. We're going to have a new council person in the fourth ward, fifth ward, and sixth ward. The only returning council people are going to be in the second, third, and at-large positions. You're going to have 5 returning people to city government. Basically, first time this auditor's been elected, new mayor, all those new council people, that's going to be fascinating in and of itself.
It's going to be huge.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be huge, but it's going to be a learning curve.
So the three returning ones are going to be Ayers Ratliff, Jason Schauber, and Alex Rollins?
Aaron Rollins, Neff, and Pollock will be the ones returning.
Okay.
And then other than that, they're all new, including the mayor. So there you go.
It'll be a good learning time, I guess.
Be a good time to go visit a council meeting. Yeah, because you know
we can all learn together.
We can all learn together. We can all be in the same boat together.
You know, out with the old, in with the new.
Yeah. Well, in a city where you've asked the auditor to resign, when you're getting fines from the IRS, when you have no bond rating, maybe it's not time for out with the old. Maybe you want something different there. But you know what? I don't vote in the city, so that's not my problem. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, have you said where you've moved to?
Not yet. We're going about next 10 minutes.
I've been outside a lot, so I thought maybe I missed it. Okay.
No, next 10 minutes. Stick with us. See, that's the biggest news today on the whole program. Where did we move to? Forget all this other stuff.
That's right.
It's where we moved to.
That's right.
We still have time for another issue before we're going to announce that. And then we'll go to something. Well, we've done the election stuff, so let's go to something a little smaller this week. You know, Michael J. Fox did another interview, and it's clearly, I think the reason he's doing a lot of interviews now is he's clearly progressing in the Parkinson's disease. As a matter of fact, I even saw subtitles being run in one of the interviews this week because his speech is starting to be impacted by that horrible illness, which he's had now for close to 25, 30 years, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they asked him something in that interview, which I thought was interesting. They talked to him about fear, and they said, when was the last time you were fearful? And he said, yesterday at 3:57. You know, he made a little joke about it. He said, yes, I'm fearful all the time. But he said, this is his quote, the absence of fear is faith. I think that's very interesting. And I don't know exactly what he meant, but let's take a call and we'll come back to this. Go ahead, caller.
Remember when we all went to school the first grade, and then a couple of them may have flunked, and we all graduated together? That's the way the council and everything else is going on in this world. We'll make it through there. Give everybody a chance, and it'll work. There's nothing wrong with new people. They have to learn somehow, and maybe they'll learn correctly and learn together as a team, which you folks learned as a new team and what you conquered in the election. So, you know, we've heard that. It'll prevail. That's what school systems are for, and we'll get them straightened out. It just takes a little more time some years than the other. Thank you.
Thank you. And, yeah, I think that's true. I mean, I think having faith in council is certainly a point. I think the problem here is that I think the teacher has been fired as well. And so now you've got a new teacher and a whole group of kids, and I mean, you hope for the best. You hope for the best. But Michael J. Fox, the absence of fear is faith. What do you think he meant by that?
Well, you know, usually when you know, fear, because it's a fear of the unknown, and so faith, you don't have to fear the unknown, because if you have faith, you know where you're going. You know where you're going to be. For instance, you know.
Let me just take this call, and then we'll come right back to this. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, since you guys are bouncing all around, can I revisit city council?
Oh, sure. Go right ahead.
Thank you so much, Scott. I'm just going to let my ignorance show here. What does at-large mean?
At-large means the whole city votes on it, and basically you're not representing any ward.
Oh, I thought you needed a larger shirt every
That's
year.
That's what bigger guys run for that seat.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
Thank you, bye-bye. And that's why we're here to inform and educate at the same time. Okay, faith and fear.
Yes. So, you know, for instance, I mean, I know where I'm going, so I really don't fear death from that standpoint. I don't fear dying from that standpoint, because I know what's headed next. You know, from time to time, maybe I have a little bit of fear not knowing how I'm going to die, because I think, you know, often, you know, the older you get, you wonder how you're going to die. Is it going to be a long and drawn out? Is it going to be painful? You know, that. But having faith removes a lot of the fear fear of the unknown because you know what's going on.
Well, I thought this was an interesting conversation because he had admitted minutes earlier that he is fearful all the time.
Right.
But then how do you get through was the quote, well, I'll make sure I get it right here, the absence of fear is faith.
Right. So what is he saying? When he fears all the time, does he not have faith?
See, that's what I'm saying. I don't think that... I'm sure that's not what he was saying.
Right.
So I think what he was... My interpretation was that, of course you're going to have fear. Everybody's going to have fear in life. You can't get away from it, especially when you've got a catastrophic illness like he has. How are you going to get around that? You're going to have fear, but you also have faith that tomorrow's going to come.
Right.
You know, the sun's going to come up. If you didn't have that, you'd be constantly fearful, and you probably would do yourself in if you didn't think tomorrow was going to come. That's how I interpreted it, following his previous statement.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
What do you think, Matt?
I think that maybe he. I mean, so like you said, he with what he has, it's a bit of I don't want to say a catastrophe, but it's not, you know.
Good. You can't help but be fearful.
Yeah. So I think that he just and so for this circumstance, I think he just said that he tries to replace the fear with faith because there's no real point to be scared. I guess he just it's there's not much you can do about it.
Yeah. What do you think, Sean?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, the man's obviously has a awesome career. A lot of, you know, can't beat his career at all. But I don't know. You know, I don't know what to say. To be honest with you, I don't know. You know, if he, you know, I hope he's never going to get better. Obviously, the doctors already said he's not gonna. His disease that he has is gonna eventually kill him. You know.
But I don't think you ever believe that. I think that's what faith. Yeah. Is.
I think that no matter how old you are, how sick you are, how damaged you are, you always go to bed thinking you're going to wake up the next day.
Oh, even if you say it, I know I'm going to die, and I don't think you do. I don't think you really believe that.
No. Oh, absolutely.
No, because you do. You do. Go to bed every day thinking, assuming that you're going to wake up the next day.
Oh, you've never not woken up.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But one day you're not going to.
Yep.
And hopefully you had faith to go somewhere. You know, the whole thing to me is kind of interesting because another part of that interview, which has nothing to do with this fear and faith thing, but we do have time to talk about it, and I thought it was fascinating. He's been married to the same woman for 35 years. 35 years. And they were young. He was a young diagnosis of this illness. He's had it for 30 of those 35 years, and she has not left him. Now, you just think practicality of what he cannot do any longer as a man with very advanced Parkinson's disease at this point. And this woman stuck beside him, and he talked about that in the interview. He said she's been there, and she's been one of the reasons that I have been able to go on, because he's got the money to hire a nurse, but it's different that she said, I'm in this with you till death do us part. And, you know, that's very difficult. You think that that's not difficult? It is. Go ahead, caller.
One thing I've lived with all my life is I know what life is kind of about. You never knew when you was born, and you'll never know when you die.
That's true. The two unknowns. But I think that, what do you make of that? Because there are a lot of people, this is another one of those moments, nobody swore me to silence on this, but I just, for practical reasons, I'm not going to mention it. I knew somebody in town who had cancer and eventually died of cancer, and during the first round, this person's significant other, married person, without saying a man or a woman here, left, and at the end of that person's life, they were dating. I think they married right before the death, but left, because it's very hard for a spouse to take care of that. But she has. Give her credit for that.
Yeah, I mean, she shows personal integrity. You know, she took vows, and she's living out her vows. You know,
yeah.
if the person doesn't stick around, there is just, you know, lack of integrity.
You know, I can't. That's an interesting thing, because I don't think people ever quite understand that. That when somebody gets sick, that I would guess, I don't think there's been any polls done to this, but I do think the majority of, maybe not people even you're married to, but I think boyfriends, girlfriends, people do leave because it, it gives them a bit of a reality check, and they get petrified. And also, the person isn't the same. I mean, Michael J. Fox walking out of his building now trips and falls. I mean, it's not the same man she married. Right. And she also didn't sign up for it.
No, she did. Well, in a way, she did sign up for it. She, when she married, got married to Michael J. Fox, and they had their vows, she signed up for whatever came their way.
Yeah, but like the people who are married and divorced several times, that's a signature like an Etch-a-Sketch.
Yeah, I know.
Let's re-sign those papers.
Yeah, I
get it. But she stayed with it.
Right.
So, Matt, why do you think when somebody gets sick, all of a sudden people walk away? She didn't, though.
I think that it's hard to take care of somebody who has a sickness like that, and it's, I think it's expensive. I think that people don't really want to... I think as much as they don't want to admit, I think that they just don't want to have to deal with it.
They're selfish.
Yeah, I think they're just selfish.
Do you think they ever get it in their mind, though, that that's what's going on? Because I don't think that... Because if you thought that's why you were leaving... I think you'd have some guilt.
So I would assume that there are some people who just straight up told themselves that I don't want to deal with this anymore. So then they left. But I would say the majority of the people probably came up with some excuse in their head to make it a logical reason to leave, and then they left.
Listen, if your thing ends, your marriage ends when the person is sick, chances are that's why it ended. Now, you can rationalize 1,000 different reasons as to why it ended,
yep,
but what else you got? I mean, let's be honest here. And I do, that's something I do think is shameful. I think that is come on.
I think if you were going to, stand up there and basically sell your soul to somebody in terms of marriage, you should at least hold out on the soul selling. You know, you should at least go through with it.
If you're engaged or just dating, can you walk away then? Is it easier? Is it more acceptable? Better integrity if you do it then?
I think so. I think if you get married and then you immediately are like, oh, I don't know, I kind of want to leave, then. I feel like there's a bit of an integrity issue there. You got one of them character flaws.
Yeah, a lot of those character flaws. But if you're just dating, you're okay with that. You got that illness.
And just in terms. Okay.
No.
So, I don't think... I mean, if you were dating or engaged to that person before the illness, I think that you should probably just stay there during the illness. Because there has to be an after.
What do you, Pastor Craig says loss of integrity. What do you say about people who do walk away and somehow rationalize in their brain it's for some other reason?
I think so. I think they either.
Character flaw.
That's the only logical reason I can come up with. It's just a character flaw.
It's a certain amount of selfishness if you can walk away.
Yeah.
And
how are you going to tell this person that you loved them?
Right.
Like, this entire time you've been together, and then all of a sudden they get sick, and you're like, wow!
Yeah.
And my love just ran out.
Boy. You know, you're not exactly, I'm starting to feel a little different all of a sudden. Something else is happening. What do you think, Sean?
Oh, I just have to, applaud the woman.
That left? No, you're talking about the one who...
Stayed.
Just stayed. I didn't say it was a woman, but okay. About Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, Michael J. Fox.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she stayed with her.
We didn't talk about that for a minute, so I had to enter my brain where we were. Okay, Michael J. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I just have to say, she stayed with him, and good for her.
But I'm saying, what about people who do leave? Because we're applauding her for staying, because most people don't.
I don't think that's right.
What does it say about the person?
It's lame.
Yeah, I think it is. It is funny to me how sometimes they always rationalize it some other way. Because it's one of those things like dying, which we just talked about. You never really fully believe that you're going to die. That's why it's acceptable in your brain. If you really thought you left that person because they were sick, you really couldn't live with yourself. You think, boy, I'm a real dirtbag.
Yep, I'm an awful
person. Yeah, I'm an awful person. So they don't believe that. It's something else. You know, they're just something about them. Something different about that person. Yeah, they're ill. That's what's different about them. I mean, come on. Little lame.
Yes, it is.
Pastor Craig, what's coming up next hour?
What's coming up next hour is kind of part two of last week, and I'm going to be talking about some events relating to Israel, and then we're also just going to go over some other news that you probably haven't gotten from the major media.
You know, every time that spot runs, I think, is he talking about this station? Are we part of the media that's not telling everything?
I'm not going to say.
Not going to say. Okay. We've reached that moment.
We got to say where we are.
Is it? Well, maybe that's news on your program. We don't tell on our program.
So, if you
what is the definition of that?
If you want to find out where we move,
you might have to wait for next hour.
Next hour. That's right.
That's right. How that goes. No, that's funny. Let's see here. Don't tune in tonight. We want to do that blog 8:15 to 10 p.m. tonight on the station. It'll be the whole gang will be back tonight. Carrington's back from her little vacation. Sean's back from the hospital. His little vacation. Who deserted you when you went to the hospital?
Who?
Who deserted you? Did anybody desert you?
Yeah, everybody.
Everybody did. The heck of that.
Yep.
You're just not quite the same person anymore when you're laying in that hospital bed. Tonight, you know what? Tonight we might talk about Christmas in the Village because we're all in for that on December the 9th, and maybe Carrington and you need to practice some Christmas carols tonight.
Yeah, the big Caledonia bash.
It's a bit too early to be practicing Christmas.
Not really. We're under a month.
Man, I just... Oh, that's fair. It is the 9th.
And I need you guys to be... We're under 30 days.
Yeah.
I don't want you guys making me look bad over there. I would never talk about it on the news on this station, but it'll end up on Pastor Craig's show. How bad you guys did!
It'll be the lead story.
You gotta give me like a script of the lyrics.
I got lyrics to a bunch of Christmas songs over in that desk right over there.
And if you start practicing now, then you won't need the lyric sheet.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely not.
I'm gonna have you guys do the Wassailing song tonight, and maybe Marshmallow World. You know, we need to pick some songs out for this thing because we're under 30 days, Sean. You're gonna be there. Do you want to be embarrassed?
No.
I mean, I don't want to have to get in a car with dark windows and blow out of Caledonia in the middle of the.
And I know Matt can sing because I heard him.
Christmas. You're gonna be dressed as a reindeer as well.
I mean, I'll have to wear my shirt inside out so I don't get embarrassed.
It'll be worse than the election. We'll never be able to be seen again.
It'll be good.
Okay, here's how we're going to do this reveal. Before I tell people exactly where we are, I want each of you to give a hint. And at home, don't call us because we're running out of time here. But just think, see how quick you get it at home. You know, play against yourself here. It'll be a nice little game. Don't say where we are, but give a little hint as to where we are. Pastor Craig, a good hint.
Government offices and a hospital.
There you go. That's a very big hint. Matt, a good hint besides that?
Right down the road from where we were.
That's another good hint in the same neck of the woods.
Brick building.
A brick building. That's a good. That tells us where we are. That's good. You know, I don't know if anybody would get it from that. I really don't, because now I think they're thinking at home. Where we are in the building that is brick. You would notice it's brick as you were driving down the street. It's a big building. It is very close to where we were, within a mile of where we were before. And it once was, now this will be the giveaway, it once was City Hall for Marion. It also was once Marion General Hospital. I believe actually built as Marion General Hospital. That's where we are, right next to Pizza Hut on Delaware Avenue, the Delaware Avenue Professional Building. And we're on the first floor. So that's where we are. For all who wanted to know, we don't have a sign out front yet, so we can't take visitors yet, but that's where we are. All right, one call, and then we're going to get out of here. Go ahead, caller.
You're talking about the old hospital in City Hall.
Yep, the old hospital in City Hall. You got it.
Out front there, they got mounds of steps. Huh? You said there's no steps.
There's no steps out back.
Okay, because I was saying, he said earlier there's no steps.
Well, I didn't say there were no steps in the building at all, but to get into where we are, if you come in, there's a big parking lot out back, and out back there's no steps.
Oh, that's better.
Yeah.
Well, I used to bank there, and I know I had to go up steps the whole time.
Yeah, they've updated. Out back, if you park out back, there's a bigger parking lot than out front, and the door out back to come in, it has no steps.
So how long are we going to stay here now?
Probably about 6 months, and we'll be up on the road. We're like gypsies. We move all the time. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Pastor Craig, Study His Word coming up next, and we'll all be back tonight for Friday Night Live. Have a great day. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
This is Adam Lepp in the newsroom. On Monday the 13th at 6:30 p.m., Council Chambers, Courtroom 1, City Hall, 2nd floor, City Council will meet. They will address proceedings from previous meeting, old business, ordinance.